The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials.
Welcome back to the Morning Toast and sorry.
We need a Monday song. We need a song for Monday to get
welcome
us in the
to
mood.
The Morning Toast. Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had a blessed, relaxing, and recharging weekend. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Excited to be back with my girly girl. Excited to hear about your weekend because I think your weekend looked really fun. Whereas mine was filled with Mama Tings and a sick bebe. So
how's World Genie? Yeah, today's episode is delayed because the most important thing on the planet needed our attention. He had to go to the doctor. I heard he had a fever. Tell us everything.
So he had a fever all weekend, in and out. It was pretty low grade. It never hit, you know, the scary numbers.
Scary.
But then it turned like the amount of days that he was feverish was becoming the concerning thing. So bright and early this morning, I took him to the doctor to make sure that everything was okay. And if not, to treat whatever was bothering him. And he's okay. It's just a little virus. It will pass. You just have to keep treating the symptoms. So I'm glad for that. But yes, it definitely backed up our schedule and it took over my whole weekend. So I don't have that much exciting news to report other than that I read so much. And whenever we do our book talk, can't wait to share.
So we have a crazy episode for you guys today. Obviously, we have so much to catch up on from the weekend. Last night was the House of the Dragon episode that literally, like changed my life. I dreamt of incest. Like, it was beyond. And Monday is usually our Unburden Yourselves Day. I just feel like today's going to be really long and we're already a little delayed. We're going to switch Unburden Yourselves to Tuesday so we can just have more balanced episodes because I don't want to be rushed today. I want to talk about everything. I also absolutely have to give the people an update on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills because it's low-key gotten so crazy. And like, we have not done a recap in 2 months. I'm totally caught up. And I'll dive into it in the TV recap, but I just want to say, like, the energy I will be bringing is justice for Kathy. So if you don't agree with that, get the fuck out.
Cool. And I'm caught up on Southern Charm.
Good. We're covering all our bases.
Covering all our bases. It's just such an enjoyable show. Really, even though there's no drama, I just enjoy these people. I'm even enjoying Patricia. That's how great
wow.
it is. Yep. Coming
wow.
around on Miss Pat.
Wow, Jackie. Wow.
I know.
So I had a fabulous weekend. I knew it was going to be fabulous because we have been planning Brian's baby shower for yesterday, Sunday, for a few months. And it finally was the day. And it was honestly like, it was giving Andy's baby shower, you know? Like, it was not like other baby showers. We had drag queens. It was lit. We had spritz. We had housewives. We had a Nobel Peace Prize winner. Like,
you?
It was, no, I wish. Lama Bowie. She is kind of like a really big deal. And she's like Brian's like mentor. So she flew all the way from Ghana and it was, she made him a quilt like for the baby.
I saw.
Oh my God. It was so like, I literally the whole day was either like dancing or crying. Like it was so emotional, but it was also like, it was draining. Like to be so emotional for so many hours. She made a speech. It was first of all, just to hear like a Nobel Peace Prize winner speak is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. And she's so close with Brian and her whole family is. And it was so sweet. And she like made him matching outfits for him and the baby, like a pair of shorts and a shirt for both of them.
Did she upstage your speech?
So I did request that Lema speak after me because I was not going to follow a Nobel Peace Prize winner when I'm like borderline moronic.
With a handmade quilt.
Yeah, no, like it just wasn't fair. So like I was like funny, goofy, silly, and everyone enjoyed it. And then she went. So it was like the perfect progression. It would have been so sad if I had to go after her.
What was the thesis of your speech?
Just that like Brian is like a dad to me. Like he's always like literally taking care of everyone. And like I think a lot of people, and he said in his speech, I vlogged the whole thing, by the way. It's up on the Patreon. I got my whole speech in there, Brian's whole speech in there, all the celebs who were there. I was like being thirsty.
It was star-studded.
Yeah, Brian was basically like, you know, people have been saying to me, like, aren't you nervous? And for a moment, he was like, you know, is this going to be weird not to have like a traditional mom for my son? But first of all, and the whole party was women. I think Ben was literally one of three straight guys there. He was like, I'm just surrounded by so many wonderful women and I have such a great mom and like I'm not even worried about it at all. And I feel so prepared because my friends are like toddlers, like Claudia and John. And it was honestly so true because I said in my speech, we both really said the same thing. I was like, Brian's literally our dad.
That's so and he was sweet.
Like, my friends are literally my children. So I'm ready. Like, I'm not even nervous. I know that this is what I'm going to be great at.
That's beautiful. Claudia, that's beautiful.
Thank you. I did, you know, of course, have to sing in my speech. I sang a Toni Braxton song that Brian and I love. We're always saying, like, Brian, you mean the world to me. Or just like, Jackie, you looking so beautiful, like, it truly means the world. We're always saying that. And it's You Mean the World to Me by Toni Braxton. And I said, like, Brian, ever since I met him, like, he's really taught me so much. He's showed me the world. Yes. And it means the world to me in the words of Toni Braxton. And then I sang, you mean the world to me. You are my everything. It was really beautiful.
Nice. I'm excited to watch the vlog. I like to watch all your vlogs on my TV. It's a whole production. But I had a sick bebé, so I get, like, 24-hour
You get leeway. All the time you need.
Thank you. And Harry loves watching your vlogs too. So I want to wait till he can enjoy it.
So Margaret, we had it at Margaret Joseph's house. And I feel like her house has been a conversation on the show for a long time. And I just have to say, like, it was unbelievable. If I ever have, like, a home, I will be hiring Margaret as my decorator and Joe as my contractor. Like, there's, like, a certain style that, like, it's like I really like it, but I could never put it together myself. It's like these kind of crazy patterns, and I would never walk into a store and get it, but I wish that I would because it looked so chic. Her house is gorgeous. Yeah, really gorgeous.
That's what I'm learning about, like, buying furniture and doing design on a house. It's like I know it feels like everything you should be so obsessed with, but and it's really hard to do this when you're buying furniture, but like sometimes you won't be obsessed with it till you see it with everything else. Like sometimes you have to get a couple things that you like, but they really work and complement the things that you are obsessed with.
Yeah, it was so beautiful. And her and Lexi really did the majority of the planning. Like there was a host committee and we met one time and then Margaret and Lexi literally did everything. And it was so well done. There was a mentalist there who was blowing people's fucking minds. Like literally there was a girl there and he was like, think of the name of your first kiss. And so she's thinking it. He's touching her finger and like saying letters and just like reading her facial cues. And then he writes down on a post-it, John Sullivan. And she's like, the mentalist is like, what was the name of your first kiss? And she said, John Sullivan. And literally, Jackie, the entire room started screaming. Like, it was crazy.
Did he do anything to you?
Yes. He had Margot think of the most random celebrity that she could think of. It's in the vlog. And he touched her finger, said a bunch of letters, numbers, read her mind. And it was Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, well.
So in Margot, in his defense, like, Margot, he said, choose the most random person. She's literally not random, especially right now.
No, couldn't be more relevant, top of mind.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a Margot error.
100%.
How is our dear sister?
She's good. I was really with her the whole weekend. Friday night, you know, it's fashion week, so, like, everyone was out and about. And, like, I've been trying to, like, not go out as much because I've been just fucking hating being hungover. But, like, it was fabulous. Like, the people were out. I wanted to see and be seen. So on Friday night, I went out, and actually the craziest thing happened. Me and Margot, we were just like drinking with a bunch of the girlies, and Kendall Jenner and Devin Booker walked in. And so obviously like the whole restaurant was quaking, but they were also quaking because Ben Simmons was at this restaurant. So literally the whole restaurant was like silent as they were just watching this interaction between Kendall, her man, and her ex-man. Nothing happened. And then eventually it got boring. Like watching celebrities like just be pretty and famous is low-key fucking boring.
Yeah. We're not really big on people watching as people.
Yeah. Like, that's the thing about celebrities. It's like, honestly, like, they're kind of boring in person.
They're just people.
They're just people.
They're just people.
They're just people. But it was fabulous. Like, you know, the city is in a it's in good form. You know, lots going on.
It's been really looking quite fabulous. All the fashion.
Everyone's in town. There's fabulous parties. Like, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it looks like you and Margo were right there in the mix all weekend. Yes. And
Saturday night, we just went out again with the girlies. I saw, you know, some of the out of town influencer girlies, the Sabotage girlies. I saw Shannon. Thank God. I needed a Shannon fix. And it was even better than I remembered.
I'm so happy for you.
No, and I'm like wasted in the bathroom. I'm like, Shannon, you need to start a Patreon. I would buy it in a second.
You really would.
No, I would. And like, Shannon's so fabulous. And like, she should start like a vlog YouTube. But like, she shouldn't give that shit away for free. I'm like, Shannon, start a Patreon. I think it's a good idea.
That is a good idea.
And she was like drunk and she was just like indulging me. She was like, yeah, totally, I should.
She's probably like, what's Patreon?
No, and she's like, can we stop talking about work? No.
You can never, but that's just because you're a mogul and like you can never turn it off. I'm sure she understands.
Mogul energy.
I'm sure she understands.
So honestly, waking up this morning, I do not feel like it was the weekend. This was like a booked and busy weekend. I didn't have any time to read or lay in bed, and that stunk. But it was fun being a fabulous socialite, you know, every now and then.
Yeah, and it sounds like I feel like so often you go out and it's just not fun and it's not fabulous. I feel like this weekend was that. And so I'm happy
for you. Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing, and I think part of the reason why I've, like, taken a step back from going out so much is because, like, I'll go out till the cows come home if it's a fabulous outing. But I just feel like lately there aren't that many fabulous outings. Maybe I'm not getting invited to fabulous places or people are getting less fabulous.
I think you get invited to some fabulous stuff, and it's kind of sometimes disappointing. I think other times you do go to, like, the opening of an envelope. It's weird what you, like, choose to go to because it's just, like, if you're in the mood to go out. And I used to do this all the time, too, when in my heyday. It's like, well, I'm going out tonight, so whatever's happening is where I'm going. But it's like, oh yeah, Tonight's not really a great night. Like, you might
no, it's like my home. Personal vibe doesn't always match up with my schedule.
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, that's so true.
I feel, but this weekend it did for you.
Yeah, no, it was great. I feel tired, but I feel, you know, I feel like a socialite, and that's special.
That is special. I'm happy for you.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was just really tiring, just on mom duty, like, all weekend. Never got out of my pajamas.
Sounds amazing.
It was a lot of work to have a sick one, little one. But he was good and sweet, and it just meant a lot of naps on mom, which meant a lot of reading time for mom.
Oh, that's good.
So it was good, and I was able to stick to my diet, and I'm happy for that. Yes, I'm very excited. So now I'm like a week into eating really, really healthy. Well, healthy. The diet that I'm doing is just like, obviously, you know, not indulging, but low sodium to no sodium if you can do it. It's really hard. No oil, no butter, no sugar.
That is no the plan salt. That you were.
That's pretty good.
Right. That's a plan you were put on when you went on your retreat when everyone thought you were like pregnant and in rehab.
Or in rehab for alcohol. Yeah.
Right. But you were just lowering your sodium intake.
I was in rehab. I was overdosing on sodium. Yeah. So that's the Pritikin lifestyle. If you can do it, it's hard to like find things to eat like because there aren't, everything has sodium in it. Look at the back of every nutrition products. Look at the back. Sodium through the roof. So it's hard to get to zero sodium, and that's not even possible really. But it makes everything like less tasty. But you can eat a lot of really good nutrient dense foods and not be super hungry. It's just kind of bland and boring.
Yeah, it actually sounds like a diet I would like because like, oh, it has no flavor. Give it to me.
Yeah, and you can eat a lot of brown rice. And you can eat potatoes. Potatoes, but just like boiled or baked with no oil, right. No salt.
No butter.
No cheese, no sour. Actually, you could have fat-free sour cream.
What about butter?
No butter. You could
margarine?
No margarine. You could maybe spritz it like once with I Can't Believe It's Not Butter Spray.
You know, let's talk about I Can't Believe It's Not Butter Spray. I'm so glad you brought it up because honestly, I can't believe it's not butter. Like,
I can. It tastes like chemicals.
Crack. It's so good. Literally, like, that is one of probably, I think when like years from now when somebody's studying like toxic diet culture, the rise like in the early 2000s, like, I Can't Believe It's Not Butter Spray is the cornerstone product of the toxic diet culture, and I love it so much. Like, I think it's so good. I spritz that shit on everything. Popcorn, rice cakes. Like, I think it's better than real butter because it's, like, good luck spreading butter.
Yeah, no, because it's spritzable.
Good luck spreading butter. Seriously. I think that it's a miracle product, and I love it. And I really cannot believe it's not butter.
Zach puts it on everything, too. I think it's like,
so good.
You should only use a few spritzes when you do, you barely taste it. And if you use more spritzes, then it defeats the purpose of it being a low calorie product.
And do you know why I really like it? Because it's fully made of chemicals. There's no food in it. Like, you could literally buy one and keep it in your fridge for 5 years and it would never expire because it's fully... The one in my kitchen, I think I got when I moved in.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. Zach likes it so much that the butter that he... Like, spreadable butter he buys, I can't believe it's not butter brand.
I completely agree. It's a brand I can trust. I love this. Honestly, I have to make the TikTok. I love this man. And I would do anything. I love that butter so much.
You know what butter I like?
What?
Breakstone.
You know what butter I actually think is like the best butter? Mm. It's like the little packets like of like French butter that you get at like restaurants. Like those are really...
Yeah, if you hold it over a candle, you can melt it.
Uh-huh. Mm. I love a little salt in my butter. Butter's so good.
I can't have any of those things right now. But it's fun talking about it.
No, I bet it's like so fun.
But I can have oatmeal.
Yum. Tell me about that.
I can have oatmeal with a stevia and some Ooh. Cinnamon.
Ooh, crazy girl.
Oatmeal is actually great because it is really filling and it's zero sodium.
Yum.
Like, it's not going to be like the tastiest thing, but you'll at least feel full when you're done. And you can move on with your day and not like be thinking about like food for that minute.
There's just like... You know what I'm thinking about? Like, there are so many, like, brands. I can't believe it's not butter is one of them that, like, really were a part of, like, that rise of, like, diet products. Like, and I think about, like, ones we had in our house. Like, I consider, like, in the same category, like, Cream of Wheat and, like, Fig Newtons.
Yeah, Cream of Wheat is an interesting product.
Good luck making Cream of Wheat correctly, because you'll never fucking do it.
And what is it?
And what is the right consistency? No, like, for cream
okay, so the brand is Cream of Wheat. The product is...
It's not grits and it's not oatmeal. It's like somewhere in between. It's literally creamy wheat.
It's creme de la wheat.
It's creme de la wheat.
Yeah,
that's... It's such a good question. Like, what is it?
I don't know.
It's like porridge.
It's porridge, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's a... That's the toxic diet culture segment of today's show.
Except the diet that I'm on is not toxic whatsoever.
No.
It encourages you to eat a lot just of nutrient-dense foods. So veggies, protein, and then whole grains. Brown rice, legumes. If you want pasta, whole wheat pasta.
If I'm at like a wedding that has like different sections of catered food, like you will find me at the legume station, you know?
Will you?
Legume? Yeah, it's like...
Beans?
Rice.
Beans.
Oh, it's not like lentils?
No, I think, lentils actually won so predicate and approved.
Oh, thank God.
But legumes are beans.
You know, I don't mind a lentil.
Lentils are, I like yentils.
I like yerental.
I like yeruncle.
Who doesn't? Okay, we have 5 stories and I want to get into them because I need to talk about House of the Dragon. Yeah. Like, it's House killing me not to.
House of the Big D. House of the D. House of the D's.
Literally. So I say we dive in.
Let's dive in. I also need to talk about the queen. Like, I'll be talking about the queen.
Yeah.
I think you can guarantee I'll be having one like royal update story till the end of September.
Wow.
Because like right now she's driving through the country. Everyone's paying their respects.
She hasn't been laid to rest yet.
No. So then we'll like be talking about her till the funeral. And then obviously the funeral is going to be a big deal. So just get ready. And I'm going to keep talking about her because I miss her. So.
You know, this is our first Monday without the queen. And it doesn't get easier.
No. And you can feel it too. It's in the air.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So without further ado, here are the Fast 5 stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by the Clinique Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter. If you have dark spots, it can often feel like a vicious cycle. As soon as one fades, another one pops up. So break the cycle with the Clinique Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter. This powerful serum works on melanin-rich to fair skin, and it helps visibly correct dark spots, such as acne marks, while protecting from future discoloration. 94% of people demonstrated an improvement in radiance and visible tone, including acne marks, in just 8 weeks. You can see a 39% visible reduction in dark spots in almost 12 weeks. If you have dark spots, I get them during the summer a lot. You know how unbelievably difficult they are to get rid of, and like once you do, boom, another one. So I really like this Clinique product. I feel like Clinique is a brand you can really trust. I think they've been around for a long time. It's a trustworthy brand. And there's effective effects because, like I said, 94% of people demonstrated an improvement. And it's developed by dermatologists, which is also fabulous. So you can get the Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter today. It's available at Clinique.com. That's the Even Better Clinical Dark Spot Interrupter, available at Clinique.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by Thuma. Thuma, 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 let me be your Thuma. Thuma, 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 let me be your Thuma. Your Thuma bed literally arrived a few weeks ago, right?
Arrived a few weeks ago. Yes, it's in Snitch's room and I assembled it. So easy to assemble. Like, I know a lot of people have probably seen the targeted ads for Thuma because we talk about it so much and your phone is listening to you. So Thuma, 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 you'll see the ads today. And they're like, their whole thing, aside from being like gorgeous and wonderful furniture, is that a lay person can put it together. And I'm here and to tell you that truly a lay person can put it together, which is huge for big furniture.
It's huge because it can be so frustrating to be setting up a bed or really any piece of furniture that doesn't have you in mind. And the bed by Thuma is handcrafted from eco-friendly, high-quality, upcycled wood, and you'll find beautiful, unique variations in natural grains. The design is very minimalist. It features Japanese joinery, and it helps elevate any space. Very supportive for your mattress. It's breathable, and it's made to naturally minimize noise and create space. It's made for how you live, so it's backed with a lifetime warranty. It ships right to your door in three easy boxes, and it takes about 5 minutes to assemble with no tools required. Along with the bed, Thuma also offers other essentials for the bedroom, like the mattress, the nightstand, and the side table, and they all perfectly complement the bed. They also work with One Tree Planted, so they plant one tree for every bed and nightstand sold. All of their essentials are Green Guard Gold certified as well. Create that feeling of checking into your favorite boutique hotel suite, but at home with the bed by Thuma. And now go to thuma.co/toast to receive a $25 credit towards your purchase of the bed, plus free shipping in the continental U.S. Go to thuma.co/toast. That's thuma.co/toast for a $25 credit.
Great. Okay, our first story, Queen update segment. First, news of Queen's funeral details have been revealed. So for everybody who's curious, here's what's in store for all of us. The state funeral of Her Majesty the Queen will take place at Westminster Abbey on Monday, September 19th at 1100 hours BST. So I think that's
British Central Time?
Yeah, no. So if it's 11 o'clock there, 11 o'clock a.m., I think we're 5 or 6 hours behind, which would make it 5 or 6 a.m.
The thing about like being an American obsessed with the royals is they love a mid-morning affair. And like when I was in high school, I was so obsessed with William and Kate's wedding that I actually woke up at 5 a.m. to watch and I was allowed to not go to school. Like I was obsessed. But it's low-key fucking annoying.
It is, but you know what? Harry does have a wake up around 5 to 6 a.m. I usually go back to sleep after it, but maybe on September 19th, I'll just, what if I just turn on Sky News?
Yeah, shout out to the Sky News Apple TV app, because trying to get news from another country is low-key not easy.
No, low-key.
Low-key, no bueno.
I drink every time Claudia says hella low-key.
I'm so young. It's hella low-key, bruv.
Okay, prior to the state funeral, though, Queen's still on her, as Charles said, her last journey. Prior to the state funeral, the Queen will lie in state in Westminster Hall for 4 days to allow the public to pay their respects. According to the palace, the Queen's coffin is currently resting in the ballroom at Balmoral Castle and will travel to Edinburgh on Sunday. It will then rest in the throne room at the Palace of Holyrood House until Monday afternoon. So right now she is at Holyrood House.
No, it says she's at Balmoral.
That was on Sunday. This was an old
article. Oh, okay. It's just so, you know, it's interesting how people's customs are so different. Because for me, most of the funerals I've been to have been Jewish funerals. Mm-hmm. And they literally happen, like, they would have had a funeral on Friday, like the day after Queenie passed away, because that's just our custom. So it feels so weird to, like, have a body be chilling, like, for multiple weeks. How do they keep the body from, you know, like, decaying?
Embalm.
Formaldehyde?
Yeah.
It's so crazy.
So crazy. People will be able to go and pay their respects.
That's nice.
Which is really nice. And then, so September 19th is a Monday. Okay, so in a week.
Oh, September 19th, yes. I'll be traveling. Oh, you know what? I might be up super early, too. Wait, I'm going to be on Pacific time. So what does that mean? Because I'm going to be traveling.
3 hours. That means 2, 3 a.m.
Fuck. Okay, so I'm going to be traveling from Seattle because I have shows in Portland and Seattle this weekend. Come see me, girlwithnojob.com/tour. We've got a few tickets left to both shows. Again, Portland and Seattle. This is my one and only trip on the tour to the Pacific Northwest, and I would love to see you there. I'll definitely miss it.
Not you making the Queen's funeral about your tour.
Like, I just feel
that
like...
That was probably the most...
Tacky.
...brazen way you've ever done. Usually the conversation... Flows.
It did flow naturally. I am going to be in Pacific time because I'm on tour. Tickets available at girlwithnojob.com/tour. I don't know what you want me to say. I think the Queen respects moguls.
I think the Queen would want you to promote your tour.
100%. She's like literally the definition of a woman who supports other women.
Yeah.
And while she and I don't have that in common. And mogul. Yeah. She would totally. I don't feel like that was insensitive. Honestly, I don't.
No. I don't think so.
And I've been seeing some hella insensitive things about the Queen online. So, like, whatever.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's all these people who are just so nasty.
Yeah. Like, making jokes. Like, someone died.
No. Jokes is the least of it.
Yeah. So, I guess I will not be able to catch the funeral.
Well, I'm sure there will be replays and highlight reels and we'll get, you know... content, but I do want to watch it live to be a part of it and to pay my respects. Because yeah. Right now I feel like I'm in a state of denial. I was watching Platinum Jubilee yesterday, which was just like, take me back to Platinum Jubilee.
It was an amazing day.
I wanted to be Platinum Jubilee every day. Like, I was rewatching the concert and I was just like loving life.
Yeah. Do you think that like this is going to be a type of royal event? Like with, like, you know how like every time there's like a royal wedding or something, like, we get the celebs who go. It's usually like the Beckhams. It's always like Guy Ritchie, Elton John. I feel like Serena Williams, like Oprah. Do the presidents go? Like,
oh, I don't know. I feel like to a degree it'll be like who's there. I think it'll more so be like the Elton Johns, not
feeling Joe Biden. He's not going to be there.
Oh, I don't know if
and like the Obamas state. And Trump, like they all met her. Do you go?
I don't know.
Heads of state, yes, thank you.
Heads of state, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. We've never been alive for something like this.
For like a big royal funeral.
Yeah.
I feel like literally every world leader go. Like I feel like well, yeah. Definitely every world leader of countries in the Commonwealth.
Yeah. Probably goes and
it's literally like the Geneva Convention. It's going to be like
it'll be more of that, less of celebrities.
I think so too.
Especially because a lot of the celebrities they got royal weddings were friends of the kids,
yeah,
friends of like William, Harry, whatever. Whereas this is probably like the Queen's associates,
her associates, yeah.
And like, it will be interesting to see who goes
and. So will there be speeches from people like in her personal life? Like, will we get to know more, like an insight into Queenie's personality?
I don't know what she has planned for us.
Because I've ended up on the side of TikTok where it's like, you know, times where Queen Elizabeth was caught on camera being funny. And she was an extremely funny person. There's like many moments. She did like little clips for the Invictus Games. She did clips for like Britain in the Olympics. She did a little clip with Bond. And she's
Paddington.
Like
an act.
Paddington. She's like a funny girl. So I would love to get to know more about her, really.
Yeah, I think there'll probably be some eulogies.
You think Charles?
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know if this information is even out there yet and I just haven't seen it or...
Or like what the protocol is for royal funerals. I'm not familiar.
I'm not familiar, but also I do believe like she had a plan for all of this. Like she worked on the plan. So it's whatever she wanted.
So it's going
to
be
which is
lit.
Nice to know. Yeah. Which is nice to know.
The but concept of planning Prince your own funeral.
The only reference we have is Prince Philip. And I right. do think there was like speeches. It wasn't as star-studded, but it was also more COVID-y.
Yeah, the concept of, like, being alive and planning your own funeral is so bizarre.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But I'm glad that she did. Like, it's bizarre for lay people, I think, but for the Queen, like, we want to do it your way.
Yeah. 100%. Whatever the Queen wants, we respect her wishes.
Yeah.
So that'll be on Monday, a week from today.
And the other royal news that everybody is a flutter about is that the Fab Four were back together in name only, really. But, you know, everyone will take what they can get. Prince and Princess of Wales and the former Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Kate, William, Meghan, and Harry were walking through Windsor Castle together, looking at the tributes to Gran, and the world is quaking that the four of them were doing something together.
Okay, it was like so crazy to see them together, and like part of me was like so upset because like in another world, like they really could have been like this fabulous dynamic foursome. Like if Meghan and Kate had gotten along and like Harry and William's friendship wasn't fractured, like this, it would have been just like an iconic, it was like, it was something we never got, like this group of the four of them. There could be so many iconic pictures. Like we almost got there. Remember when like Kate and Meghan went to Wimbledon, but like the pictures were sad. Like they both looked miserable. Like we never got like a fabulous four moment out of them. And we could have because they're brothers. Like I just, it made me really sad.
Claudia, they're brothers.
It made me really sad. That was my first like observation. My second observation was like Meghan looked so scared. Like if there's so much footage of her like actually like looking like she'd rather be anywhere else. And I don't know if that's because she was sad over Gran. She was uncomfortable around Will and Kate. She was just having flashbacks to like the terrible times she had while in the royal family. She just looked like completely like she would rather be literally anywhere else.
Yeah, people are, there's a lot of body language experts on the case here. I just have to say, like, I don't think anything that we saw, like, was an accident. I don't think anybody, like, slipped. A lot of people are like, William and Kate aren't touching, holding hands, and Meghan and Harry are holding hands. Well, from what I understand, like, members of the royal family can't really do, like, public displays of affection. I don't think, like, William and Kate hold hands, but, like, I don't think that they were caught not holding hands.
Yeah. You know? No, that doesn't. Also, Meghan is American. And
no, and they're not royal anymore.
No, for sure, for sure. But it's also like a cultural thing. Like British people are not very like PDA affectionate, and like Americans are. So yeah, even from that perspective, like that doesn't make me think that Harry and Meghan are more in love and William and Kate are hating each other.
That's like people's takeaway. Also, there was like with the car door, William was like, Kate, get the door.
Yes. Okay. People are wrong about that because I was watching this live on Sky News, the Apple TV app, and I was like, of course, like Harry's literally like tucking her into the car. And William's like, get in the front seat, bitch. Like, it was so different.
It was like, shotgun.
No, literally. But also, like, that's, like, Ben has literally never opened the door for me. No, like, but that's being married for 2 years versus being married for 10.
For sure. But if the eyes of the world were watching,
no, Ben wouldn't open the door. Ben doesn't think. Ben doesn't think, like, people are going to know how much I love my wife if I open the door. He's like, I know how much I love my wife, and she can get her fat ass in the car. Like, I like, but I thought that was funny because like as a girl whose husband I think like worships me, never has once opened the fucking car door. Literally, he would let the door swing and hit me in the face before he opened it for me. Like he doesn't think of that.
Right. And also there's this weird dynamic where like Kate, I don't think can walk in front of William.
Yes. And she can't.
She's always walking behind him, which like
is dismissive looking.
Yeah. In modern relationships, it's not a thing that you do.
Yeah. So like we're coming at it like in the tabloids from our American perspective when she's doing everything right. Like literally if she meets someone and like Will is walking over, she's not allowed to shake their hand before William does.
Right. Right.
So there's just like things that make it look socially awkward, but it totally is protocol. But now that Meghan and Harry don't have to do that, like they can be themselves and be more comfortable and like be more intimate. So people are going to juxtapose that against William and Kate who look like they hate each other.
But they're just following protocol.
Yeah, and I feel like William and Kate have definitely had like a bit of a rough patch in the last couple of years in their marriage. I think that there was a lot of rumors about, you know, a friend of Kate's coming between them, perhaps some infidelity. And seeing them out and about, I feel like, you know, times like this, grief and loss, like that's what brings families back together. That's what heals marriages. And I hope...
I feel like they've been good for a while, though. I feel like those rumors were a few years ago, and I feel like they've been pretty strong for a while. And I also think they could learn a lot, and they probably have learned a lot from Queenie and Prince Philip.
Yes.
Who went through
something similar.
And maybe if they weren't the queen and the prince, they wouldn't have stayed together. But for duty, they had to. And like now we regard their relationship as a, you know, not a fairy tale, I want to say, but a model, an institution.
Institution.
And it wasn't without hard work and pain.
100%. And like they're morphing into that.
Yeah.
But when you're going to be compared to like this, you know, newlywed whirlwind American like romance.
And also Meghan and Harry are very
into like touchy feely.
And just I feel like they just because also maybe because like it's they've cut out a lot of other people in their life. Like, they're very much like us against the world.
They're insular. Like, yeah, they're their team.
They
they're
lean on each other.
Yes.
Because they mostly have each other.
But I do want to say, like, in terms of a marriage, like, I definitely identify more with William and Kate because, like, if me and Ben are around other couples, like, and you're just going to compare us, like, we're not the ones, like, groping. Like, we're the ones just, like, eating and laughing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm wearing heels, I'm probably leaning onto my husband.
That doesn't count. That's extenuating circumstances.
So if we're in this situation, like, we're linked arms.
No,
like,
if we're out about to fall. Yeah, no, and, like, if we're, like, out to dinner, like, yeah, I'm going to check my phone. And it doesn't mean I don't love my husband because I'm not holding his hand across the table. Do you know how uncomfortable that is? My arms are short. Like,
I also think for William and Kate, like, this, they're meeting the people who love them, who are, like, there to support them and, like, show love. And I think for Harry and Meghan, like, they didn't know what they were going to receive considering the way that they've left the UK.
And, like, you know, it's so interesting how, like, what we think of the situation, because we're totally outsiders. Like, our, like, the American perspective is, like, Harry and Meghan are, like, heroic in how they left. And the British perspective is, like, very anti-Meghan and Harry. Like, they took it personal when they left. Mm-hmm. So I imagine going back there is not like doing a meet and greet in New York. Like, it sucks.
Yeah.
And you don't know if someone's literally going to, like, throw a drink in your face. And there, I don't know if you saw the clip, like, of a woman who was standing at the barricades. There were two sides of the road filled with barricades. William and Kate went to one side and Meghan and Harry went to the other. So, like, you knew which royal you were going to meet. And it was clear that this one woman on Harry and Meghan's side, like, she wanted to be on William and Kate's side, but they chose the other side. And she literally, like, did not shake her hand, did not look her in the eyes. And it was truly, like, so painful and awkward. I actually, like, I felt really bad for Meghan.
That's so awkward.
It was horrifying. Like, the woman is, like, she has her chin in her hand. She's just, like, looking straight ahead. Like, I totally get, like, not liking a celebrity. Like, okay, let's say I don't like, Charlie Puth.
Charlie Puth.
But he, like, comes up to me at a party and wants to meet, like, of course, like, hey, Charlie, I love your song. Like, I'm fake and I'm a loser. So honestly, to, like, keep your scrupled hate while meeting the person, like, that's brave because celebrities are just, like, intimidating. And she is this duchess. She's, like, this worldwide global phenomenon. So to really snub her, like, that was crazy.
Yes. I think the circumstances are just a little different, though, in the sense that, like, the people who went to the gates of Windsor, like, love the Queen immensely. Like, so many people love the Queen. Like, we love her, but, like, do you see me at Windsor?
No, like, we don't know her.
The people who are, like, standing outside the gates, like, leaving those tributes are the Queen's number one fans. Yeah. And I think that those people saw the way everything went down and imagine how much that might have hurt the Queen. And they're there for the Queen. So,
yeah,
I think she felt this woman probably felt very principled about not saying hi.
Overall, like, I got no joy from watching the four of them, like, looking miserable together because it really highlighted, like, what we got versus what we could have gotten. Like, if the four of them had just worked it out, whatever it was, like, I still don't even really know, like, what the beef between her and Kate was, but if they had been able to, like, become, like, it would have been historic. Like, they're all four of them are so fabulous and, like, stylish. And I just imagine what we could have gotten if it had worked out. And that makes me sad.
It does make me sad. And I did not get any joy because I just could feel all the tension, all the performative, like, this is theater. And right, they're not at actors. Each other, like, and they're not actors, except for one.
Right. And they're, like, looking at, they're pointing at little flowers, like, oh, look at that. Like, what? Like, it's literal, it's like, acting.
How could you actually read anything when you know that everyone is watching and evaluating every move that you're making?
Yeah. I will say, before they waved and got into the cars, I don't know if you've seen this clip, like, Meghan looks like she wants to die. Like, literally, she looks like a robot. She looks like she's about to cry, actually. It was really sad. And I'm curious what was going through her mind. Is it, you know, I'm sad for Gran? Is it, I don't want to be here, I hate these people? Like, what is it, you know?
I didn't see that. That was after,
you have to
the,
watch.
Like, after the meet and greets.
So they look at the flowers. Oh, they point. Look, is that cool?
And they walk over the barricades.
Then they walk up the barricades to their cars. And then they wave one last time before getting in the car. And she literally is on the verge of tears.
Maybe it was that woman who snubbed her. Maybe she was getting that energy from other fans.
It was just, like, a miserable experience. Like, in all of it. Not just one specific moment.
Yeah. Oh, I got to say the clip.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. Like, that's the good thing about being on Queen Talk. Like, you don't miss a thing.
I know, but you've been sending me some Queen Talks. My new issue with TikTok, they make it so hard for people who don't have the app to enjoy a morsel of TikTok. The new thing is, like, the way people put their captions, it's too high for those of us who are viewing on Safari because they, like, have this TikTok brand that drops down so low.
Sorry, that makes sense. Like, they're a business, and you like, if you want to engage, you have to, that's like, that's literally like watching The Toast, but not subscribing. Like, why? Just fucking subscribe.
No, but you can still watch The Toast, have a premium experience, even if you don't subscribe. Like,
and maybe that's why we're not as big as TikTok. Maybe that's why we're not as big as them.
For sure, but I just feel like in my heart, it's the right thing to do to give people that joy for, without.
100%.
Without asking for anything in return.
Because we're moguls with a heart. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the quip date for the day. Anything else that struck you this weekend from our friends across the pond?
I don't think so, but I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Now, while the biggest stars in the UK were doing that, the biggest stars here were at Beyonce's 41st birthday party.
Yeah, they were.
So lots of celebs were seen entering and exiting Beyonce's star-studded birthday bash in Bel Air, California, including Kim Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Tristan Thompson.
Kris Jenner and Corey Gamble as well. Obviously, like, it's a cool party the Kardashians go, but I think that there's been so many, like, rumors about what Beyonce thinks about Kim. At first, it was like Jay-Z. It was literally like the Fab Four. And for like a minute, it was good, you know? And then it was not. Things obviously got bad between Jay-Z and Kanye. There were a lot of rumors that Beyonce did not like Kim. She thought that Kim was like tacky. But then recently, like, you know, Beyonce sends Ivy Park to Kim. Like, they support one another. You know, Beyonce does that thing where she wishes celebrities happy birthday on her website with, like, a picture of them as a child. And she does it for all the Kardashian girlies. Like, she even does it for Kourtney. Like, so it seems like their relationship is, like, fine. I don't know if it was at the level where, you know, she would invite her to her birthday party, but she did. And that makes me really happy because Kim, like, I feel like, I think Kim puts a lot of stock in what, like, people like Beyonce think about her, you know, because for so long she was like that reality star, sex tape girl. And she's like worked so hard to get out of that. So to be invited to Beyonce's birthday party is like, it's a validating thing, I think.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like so surprising to me. I feel like where doesn't Kim get invited except Buckingham Palace for
the Jubilee.
And now I don't know if that was true, but I'm sure she even wishes more so now that
she was able to score an invite. Yeah. I thought it was nice that Khloe was there. A lot of people were like, Tristan. I think Tristan was literally someone's plus one. Like, I don't think he got invited by Beyonce.
I think he was Drake's plus one. I think him and Drake are friends.
Like, he wasn't, you know, he didn't get, you know, Mr. Tristan Thompson address. He was,
you don't think he was Khloe's plus one?
No.
You don't think they're back together?
No, they didn't arrive together. No.
Also, Machine Gun and Megan Fox were there looking really
surprising.
Really great. Yeah, surprising too. Which one do you think was on the invitation? Which one Megan. Was the plus? You think?
Yeah.
What's the relationship?
There's not a relationship, but Megan's just been around in Hollywood and like been A-list for so long. Like, those are the types of relationships you make. And I think her and Beyonce are probably around the same age.
41 would be the age.
Yeah, that tracks for both of them. Right?
Okay. Yeah. Lizzo was also there. Lily Rose Depp, Vanessa Bryant, Jay-Z.
Random. Oh, no. Sorry. I thought you said Vanessa Bayer. Sorry.
No.
Rich Paul and Adele.
Yes. I think the theme was like roller disco.
Yeah.
It did look fabulous. Everyone was showing up and showing out, and I'm glad they had a good time.
That's a party like I deadass have FOMO from. Like, let me go, please.
But at least you had a fun weekend in your own right.
For sure, but not as fun as theirs.
Really?
Not that it's a competition.
But like, it could have easily been like one of those parties that has all the makings of a great party. But just the energy is off.
I don't know. I just feel like people like put their energy on high alert for Beyonce's party.
I agree with that. I don't think the energy was off. I'm just saying like there's a chance it could have.
Did you see a photo of Beyonce? Because I didn't.
No, well, I think it was at her house. So she never had to leave and she never had to come in.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah.
I'm just really happy Kim was there. Like, that wouldn't have been a given. Oh, also, speaking of the Kardashians, we finally got...
Yep, that's our next story.
Oh, okay.
Business news from Kourtney. We know what Lemmy is. So this morning, Courtney dropped all the details about Lemmy. I'm going to read it from her Instagram caption because there's a lot of information.
And the information basically says Claudia was right.
Claudia was right. That's the headline here. Claudia was right. She said, let me finally share what I've been up to. I've been dreaming of this idea, having lots and lots and lots of meetings and conversations with different people, trying to figure out the best way to build this, the right partners, and building the team that felt really good. When it was finally all right, it was all happening with ease. Lots of hours, Zooms, dreaming, but all with swift decisiveness and actual fun. At last, 5 years later, my passion work baby is finally launching into the world. Meet Lemmy, my new line of vitamins and supplements that I created to become a divine feel-good part of your everyday life. We partner with the best scientists and doctors to create the cleanest gummy vitamins and supplements using clinically backed ingredients and formulations that help you live your best life. So I was right, things in which to live. And of course, we made them so delicious, you won't believe they're good for you. We launch on September 27th, 2022, exclusively on lemmylive.com.
So, one, I was right.
Yeah.
Two, this is not surprising. This is super on brand for Courtney. I think it's more on brand than being a Boohoo sustainability ambassador. Like, this feels right. That's why, like, it's a good thing, like, I was able to guess it. Do you know what I mean? Like, because that means it makes sense for her.
Right.
I will say, though, that this is, like, a really saturated space with brands, like, that are, like, influencer-backed. That, like, you know, there's Ollie, there's Ritual, Goop has. So I just find, I think it's going to be hard. Right.
There's, Tati.
Vital Proteins, Tati, Sugar Bear. Like, there are a lot of gummy companies that are all, like, clean, non-GMO. Like, they all kind of do.
Flintstones.
Right.
Big competitor.
So I do think it's going to be hard to enter the space kind of late and make a real impact, but that's what the Kardashian brands do. So that remains to be seen. I think the branding is really cool. But I do think what you said last week is really on point. Like, why wouldn't this be a poosh brand?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, like, because this could be poosh
supplements.
DTC, like, you know, Poosh finally has, like, a product and not a conceptual website. I feel like, no shade to Poosh, but I feel like, one, it's not that, like, massive or anything. Not, like, a brand that you have to capitalize on. And two, I don't know that the name, like, outside of their circle, and I know that, like, Courtney is Poosh and they call P Poosh. Like, I feel like the name never really hit. But, like, the way I think about Lemmy already, I'm like, that's a fucking brilliant name. The concept, the names of the vitamins, let me just read some of them. Where is it?
Yeah, I agree. And making it, like, its own separate brand. They had, like, a whole separate launch for it, a new Instagram. It's more exciting.
They have de-stress gummies called Lemmy Chill. They have concentration gummies called Lemmy Focus. And then energy B12 gummies called Lemmy Matcha. So, like, I feel like there are so many more opportunities for branding and whatnot. Whereas I don't think the Poosh brand ever went past, like, that initial wellness
blog
community. Yeah, that, like, very niche audience.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. And I agree that, like, it's more of a moment because it's its own brand with, like, really great graphics and logos. But I do think, like, she has a challenge in terms of differentiating yourself because all these gum, like, personally, I use Ollie vitamins. I take the hair and nails, and I also do the melatonin ones. And they have cute names. Like, it's just like it's a saturated space.
I agree, but I will say, and I don't currently take any gummies, but when it comes to, like, wellness and what you put in your body and all of that, like, I actually would trust Courtney. Like,
same.
She's about that life.
Uh-huh. You know? And she's been walking the walk, like, before it was cool.
Yeah, and I believe her when she says it's been 5 years and, like, looking for the right partners. And, like, I would trust her on this.
That's
so
true.
She's so about it and, like, militant about it. She's been that way on the show for so many years. And I think it would, like, go against everything she believes in to put out something that, like, doesn't check all those boxes for her.
That's super true. I am curious, though, if, like, when she left that comment on Instagram saying she was on the phone with her attorneys working on 7 business deals, if this was one of them.
It could have been, like, okay, this, the Boohoo sustainability, you know, at the time, a few years ago, she did, like, a Pretty Little Thing collab. Then there was Poosh. Then, like, Poosh X Goop, Poosh Your Wellness Virtual Retreat. Mm-hmm. And number 7.
They had a day camp. Remember Poosh Day Camp, summer camp?
Oh, that was really cute. It was, like, an influencer thing, but it was cute. Yeah. Yeah. Seven business deals.
We love to see it. So let me live.
I love it. I think it's genius. And agreed, it's great that like you were able to guess it. If she ever wants to come out with non-toxic cookware, like I'm open because I love my Caraway so much that like I would get more Faraway.
Maybe they'll branch out. Like,
yeah, I think, you know, assuming this is good. And it looks like the logo, that swirl, she in the promo picture, she's like laying in a, like a ball pit of swirls. And I guess that's what the gummies are going to be like.
Oh, swirls. Cute. That's really cute.
Yeah, they look like Smarties.
Yeah.
I think it's cute. All really great. I'm really happy for her. It's yeah. Season of Courtney.
No, and like she really needs to post that clip in the back of the car where she's fighting with Kim about the Candyland themed birthday. Like, how can you have a Candyland with no fucking candy? You're wearing leather shoes, plastic glasses. We need that.
Yeah. Also, subset B of Kardashian Business Ventures, Kylie is launching a new series on her YouTube channel called Kylie's Glam Bar, where she'll be like interviewing people at like a glam pink bar in her studio.
It's giving Hailey Bieber welcome to my bathroom.
That's exactly what it is. But it's also good because she has this huge YouTube channel. She puts out one video every 6 months.
Yeah.
Now we'll have some like regularity with the content and we'll get to see more of Kylie's personality, which I love.
She's been like so low-key. Like she has to come back. Like I know she had a baby and I respect mama. No, but, like, let's
but
go.
She's back. She's been back for like since London. She's doing everything. She's doing press, this and that. Kendall was on a podcast today, by the way. Did you
yes,
see this?
Yes, Jay Shetty, Jackie. He's the one who married
J-Lo. Very cool. So I feel like Kylie is in mogul mode, and I love this idea for a YouTube channel.
I love it, too. I love the Kardashians embracing podcasting. I feel like a lot of Khloe's anxieties that she talked about, like about interviews and stuff, really, I think, exist when it comes to traditional media because it's just, like, so old school. And, like, it's not – those aren't even her fans watching. It's, like, people – like, old people. I feel like them embracing podcasting is, first of all, so good for them because they really get an opportunity to, like, speak for a long period of time and, like, really say how they feel and, like, not be, like, a dumb clip on Jimmy Fallon. Mm-hmm. And people are very receptive. Like, I feel like a lot of people, once they watch like a long form interview of anyone, but like specifically a Kardashian, they always leave with like more respect for them, you know,
yeah.
Even if they didn't start out liking them. So I feel like the platform, like the medium is really good for them. And I love to see them doing more podcasts. Like it's everything.
It's a great medium. I mean, we can't say enough good things about it. I think it's really a wonderful space and I've enjoyed my time in the space.
And of course, like if Kylie too wants to venture into podcasting, like there's no place safer for you than here at the Morning Toast. We will literally, you know, like eat your duty, anything you want.
Are you ready for our next story?
Yeah.
Lea Michele is devastated to skip Funny Girl due to COVID-19 symptoms and confirmed COVID at this point.
Okay, like not me literally putting this in the universe.
Did you say this? What'd you
remember say? Remember I told you that the toasters played a prank on me when I was on Instagram Live, like getting ready for Funny Girl. Then they were like, oh my God, Claudia Lee has COVID. And now she does.
Ooh.
This sucks. Like not to be rude, but like who gets COVID? Like where the fuck have you been hanging out? Like
the whole, like so much of the cast has it apparently. Like no, there's a lot of people out.
There's like a crazy outbreak.
Yeah.
I swear to God, like, I don't know anyone, like, personally who has gotten COVID in the last, like, year. Like,
no, like, people are still getting COVID. It's still going around, but it's just, I think, the way that we, like, think about it and deal with it now is just, like,
it's, like, okay. Different.
Yeah, it's not like you have to, like, shut down, like,
right.
You know,
move to a remote island.
On your house, like, go into a quarantine camp. It's like, yeah. Okay, get well soon. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you soon, girly. I'll send you some soup.
Text me when you're feeling better.
By the way, this sucks, but like it also kind of rocks for Lea Michele. Like, you know, easing back into Broadway is not easy. Like she did a Monday show, she did a Tuesday show, two Wednesday shows. And like, it's very physically exhausting. So to get like a week off and like be with your kid, like kind of rocks.
I don't know, but she had like all this momentum. Don't you feel like, I would agree with that like in a few months. Like, yay, I get, you know, a week off. But
yeah, a lot of momentum.
So much momentum. And it's like,
the plot of this storyline, like, keeps getting thicker. Like, it just, it's the craziest saga how, like, art was imitating life and then life was imitating art. And now it just, like, keeps going. And people, what sucks is, like, the, you know, people, Rosie O'Donnell literally tweeted, no, I'm flying in next week. Like, people are flying in, like.
Yeah, that's who it really sucks for, like, the ticket holders who were there to see Lea. Apparently her understudy is amazing.
So Julie Banco was the understudy for Beanie. And Beanie, like, half the time didn't show up. And people fucking love Julie Banco. She's like a really authentic to the role. She's Jewish. She speaks Yiddish. Like she's amazing. And when Beanie dipped out early before Lea was set to start, Julie was not the understudy. She was the main girly for like an entire month, and people loved her. Ben's parents saw her, said she was amazing. I'm sure she's great. But if you're buying the tickets, you're doing it because of all the fanfare from Leah.
Yeah.
So that sucks.
That's just like a risk you take with Broadway.
Yes. I know. I did read
it's
somewhere.
It's a risky business.
I follow this girl on TikTok. Like, if you know, you know. They're like, she tells you like crazy facts like about like business and like customer service. And she like does these little skits. So she'll be like pretending to talk to the cashier. Well, I know that, you know, Nike has to give me my shoes back, my money back, if my shoes don't blah, blah, blah. And the cashier is like, fine, how did you know that? And she goes, because I follow Erica. She reads the terms and conditions, so you don't have to. That's why I follow her. She's this girl, Erica. And you know what? I've learned so much from her, like little things, like about how companies like have to give you your money back. Like, and on Broadway, I think I learned this from Erica. Like, if you get tickets in the understudy, like, you can get your money back. Just saying.
Oh, don't do it.
I know.
But
it's like
I understand.
But this girl, Erica, so, like, Shapiro loves her. He's like, do you know Erica? And he, like, repeated her signature, like, sign off in her videos. He's like, that's why I follow Erica. She reads the terms and conditions. She's a lawyer. And he loves her. And I was in a taxi, and I saw a taxi TV commercial. She bought, like, ad space for her TikTok. I thought that was so smart. I'm going to do that.
That is really smart. No, we should do it for the toast. No offense.
We've actually always said, like, we don't do any marketing. But, like, it couldn't hurt to, like, you know, spend a little money on some, like, marketing.
Some and billboards
taxi
in your town.
TV. I think we could just play, like, a little sizzle reel of us being cute and funny.
Yeah. I think we need billboards.
Yeah. Every time we talk about this, like, I get reached out to by, like, a million toasters who work in, like, out of, what's it called? Out of home?
Clear Channel? Outdoor yeah. Voice.
Yeah, one of those. And like I've like 5 times I've taken it all the way. We make like mock-ups, and then I get the price and I'm like, no one cares about us. Why are we spending like so much money on like subway ads and billboards in Times Square? Like it does nothing.
No, I think like it does stuff, but you have to have so many, and like we could really just probably get the one.
Yeah, no, like my dream, like we need to wrap for an entire summer like a Hampton Jitney.
Yeah.
Just like with our big faces, and like everyone will take pictures of it, and when they're in the city and the Hamptons, like, because like our biggest city in terms of like audience is New York, like the tri-state
right,
area.
But does that not mean that we should go to a different city and build up our audience there? Like maybe we've hit a lot of people here, and would it just be people seeing it who already listen?
Yeah, but like then they'll take pictures of it. Like,
oh, that's like not why you do it, but yeah.
No, that's why I would do it. So maybe we'll dive into some marketing, but probably not. It's just something we talk about. And now I'm going to get like a million emails and I'll probably like pretend to do it and then not.
Yeah, we prefer our grassroots marketing efforts. Tell a friend about the Morning Toast. Just
phone
one
a friend.
Friend.
Phone
one
a friend.
Friend who you know doesn't listen. Tell him.
Phone a friend.
Phone a friend. That's the one. And now are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I really am. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say,
I totally forgot, like, to work today. Is it the fifth and final story that's brought to you by Osea?
Yes.
It's important to prep your skin to stay hydrated and smooth with safe, clean products. And that's why Osea skincare products help nourish, soften, and smooth your skin to keep you glowing from head to toe. Osea is a brand I saw, like, so many fabulous people using on social media for so long, and I finally, like, got with the program. And I can say, like, it lives up to the hype. What I really like about them is all their products are big. It's like, it's not a cream you use 3 times and then it goes away. Like, no, this will mm-hmm. last you for a long time. So if you want to maintain your radiant summer skin during the fall, like if you have a tan that you want to keep hydrated, check out the Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil. It keeps your skin soft and glowing with Undaria Algae, Acai Pulp, and Babassu Seed Oil. It's rich and not greasy. I've been very hesitant to use body oils because like who wants to walk around like all slicked up, but it's not greasy at all. And like there's a really effective nourishing feeling from it. It smells so good. The container is huge. Like it will last you a long time and it just feels good to like know that it's made with like real things from the sea. It's clean. It's nourishing. They also have this Total Body Glow Trio that comes with the Undaria Algae Body Oil, but it also includes a moisturizing body scrub and a plant-based body brush. If you like to tan artificially, like you need to be doing like a real routine before you're putting on tanner, and that means scrubbing, exfoliating, hydrating, and this Trio is perfect for that. You get rid of the dead skin, then hydrate for soft, glowing skin. And all their products are clean, safe, responsibly sourced, vegan, cruelty-free, and powered by the sea. So find your new skincare and body care favorites at OseaMalibu.com and get a special discount just from listening to The Toast. That's 10% off your first order for site-wide from the entire site with promo code TOAST at OseaMalibu.com. You also get free samples with every order, and orders over $50 get free shipping. So you're going to want it all at OseaMalibu.com, promo code TOAST.
Great. Our fifth and final story, a little exciting daytime news as, you know, fall TV is getting underway. Jennifer Hudson and Sherry Shepherd are part of the daytime TV makeover. New shows debuting this week include The Jennifer Hudson Show.
Okay, wait for them to bury the lead.
Right. And then Sherry Shepherd is getting her own show called Sherry, which doesn't sound like new news because she was filling in for Wendy. And now I think it's just Sherry. And also Karamo Brown of Queer Eye is getting his own show called Karamo. They're joining a daytime lineup that includes continuing talk variety series, The Kelly Clarkson Show, The Drew Barrymore Show, Tamron Hall, and ratings leaders like The View, Dr. Phil, and Live with Kelly and Ryan.
So, like, wait for them to not, like, promote this at all. Like, who the fuck knew? I feel like when Kelly was getting her show and then there was talks about, like, who's going to take Ellen's time slot, Jennifer Hudson's name was floated around a little bit, but we never even got confirmation that she was getting her own show. So, like, wait for them to fumble that completely.
No, and so I saw that Jennifer Hudson and Sherry Shepherd had daytime talk shows premiering. So I Googled, like, Jennifer Hudson, Sherry Shepherd shows, and every single article is the exact same headline. It was just, like, a PR
wire,
but there's no press details really around it, or like different articles. Like, we're talking to Jennifer Hudson. It's just like, everything says Jennifer Hudson and Sherry Shepherd are part of a daytime shakeup. And it's like, so, copy paste, copy paste, copy paste.
I do feel like Sherry Shepherd and Jennifer Hudson are good choices. I feel like Karamo is very much like the future. You know, he's on a streaming service. He's very much an influencer. And as much as, you know, having your own talk show is so cool, it's not like the thing anymore. You know, you can have a YouTube channel that gets 10 times more viewers than a daytime show. And it's prestigious and it's cool and it's old school. But it's not really like the media platform of the future. And Karamo is very much like a pioneer.
I agree with that. But I think, like, when done right, it's big. It's big business. Like, Ellen, even Kelly, like, is someone who's a new host, but, like, having so much success and, like, will have success for years to come. I think it's so hard to get right and be successful in the space. And I think that's why probably it's not for most people. And you can have an easier time being successful doing something on your own. But, like, when it hits, there's really not many things that are bigger than that.
Right. So odds are, of these three new shows, like, maybe one of them will hit. And who would you predict has the best chance? I think I would say Sherry, just because she's so experienced. Like, she was on The View. She filled in for Wendy. Like, she's a real talk show host. And people think being a talk show host is so easy. Like, just sit and talk about yourself. It's actually not. Like, it's a perfect, you have to, sometimes I watch clips from Kelly and I love her, but I do feel like she talks over a lot of her guests sometimes. Like, it's a perfect balance of talking and listening while also being interesting, but also not too interesting because it's not about you, really.
You're just the host.
Yeah, so Sherry, I feel like, is interesting and famous enough, but not to the point, like, where it's overbearing. And I feel like Jennifer Hudson is, like, this worldwide talent. She's, like, an Oscar winner. I think it might be hard not to make it about her.
Yeah, but you would be surprised. It's crazy who is successful and who isn't. And I feel like over the years, we'll meet a celebrity and we're like, oh my God, they're so funny. They're so great. They should have a talk show. Bethany, Kris Jenner, Tyra. Even though Tyra's show went for a really long time.
It was a success.
But, like, it's not Ellen.
Right, right.
So I can name a lot of things that contribute to being a successful daytime talk show host. But there is that one thing that separates the Ellens
of the world
from the Felons.
100%. Okay, so if you had to put your money on one of these three.
I don't know. I feel like it could be Jennifer Hudson.
No, I would say Sherry, Karamo, then Jennifer Hudson.
I would do Jennifer Hudson, Sherry, Karamo.
Yeah.
Because what he does on Queer Eye, he's kind of like the...
He's technically like the culture.
He's like the expert. Insides coach. Like, everybody's working on the outside and he's working on the insides.
He's like the therapist.
And he's like the confidence coach too, right? Yeah. Not my favorite scenes.
No, not my favorite segments. No, that's so true. Like, Because for when you're watching a makeover show, like, you want to see the makeover and you can't see someone's insides being made over.
No, but like, it's, you could have interesting conversations with people. Like, how'd you get to this place? Like, what are you about? What, you know, and it's just like, never really did it for me.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Can we please talk about House of the Dragon? Like, I think of nothing
no,
else.
No, that was the story. Anyway, some daytime shakeups. Let us know who you'll be listening to. Sound off in the comments. Make your predictions. Who's going all the way?
Okay. House of the Dragon, episode whatever. Last night, I needed that. Like, I was obsessed. And I know I've been, like, joking about, like, how obsessed I am with this, like, level of incest. But yesterday, it just, like, truly came to a head for me, like, just seeing them kiss. So when she went into her room, the episode had, like, a spooky element. Because I was like, oh, my God, someone's in her room. Me and Ben were like, who's going to kill Rhaenyra? Like, they had, like, and I didn't know what we were looking at. And I thought maybe, like, somebody left a bag in there, like, full of, like, a trick. I don't know. But the fact that she got to escape and, like, head out with him was, like, amazing. Except the episode had such a fatal flaw that I couldn't get past it.
What's that?
The beanie. They didn't have beanies in the 1500s.
It wasn't a beanie. It was, like, a page boy cap.
It was from Urban Outfitters. It was a full-blown beanie.
Oh, I didn't find that to be an issue. My issue with it was, like, it was, like, a night out in King's Landing. But everything that we've seen about King's Landing is, like, horrific. The people are evil, awful, like, murderous, thievery. And it was, like, a lit night on the town. It's, like, Fashion Week in King's Landing. Really? And it's, like, where's the King's Landing that we know and that we don't love?
No, and honestly, I feel like in the original show, there was a couple scenes where they went to, like, local plays and, like, saw how the people perceive them. And it's so sad and so mean. Like, why would you go? That's like going on Reddit and reading about yourself.
For sure. But Damon needed to show her why it's important. It was a night of education. One, why it's important to make a strong match maritally, because your claim is at risk.
The people don't take you seriously.
They don't take you seriously yet, and a strong marriage will help them take you seriously, which you need to consider. Two, education point two, marriage isn't all bad. And
right, like, we can fuck and have a good time.
No, like, sex isn't just about making babies.
Right, like, a lot of your friends probably told you that because, you know, your bestie has to have sex with your dad and it literally looks like the most miserable fucking experience. And that side by side of Damon and Rhaenyra getting it on, which literally, like, made my whole life. I was obsessed, spliced up with her friend having to have sex with the king. Like, that was so sad. And, like, you know, I had been, like, harboring some hatred for the friend. And in that moment, like, my hatred was unjustified because, like, she didn't even want this. She had no choice. And look at her life. Like, it sucks.
Yeah, I think the friend is fine. Maybe she'll turn. Maybe all this misery will turn her to be, like, an evil queen. But right now, she really is always looking out for Rhaenyra. Like, what choice does she have? Her dad just sold her.
She was being, like, a little condescending when she heard that, like, she was fucking. She was acting more like her mother, stepmother, than her friend.
Okay, well, that's the role she's also in. I think sometimes she's a friend, like when Rhaenyra was being, like, lonely, moping around the picnic. And sometimes she's her stepmother who needs to tell her that, like, incest is not best.
Okay, especially, well, let's talk about that.
Given that Allison doesn't come from a history of incest, I think.
Right, it's unfamiliar to her. Let's talk about Damon. He showed up with short hair, and it really did not bother me. I thought he was going to be very Samson, and I would, like, start hating him because, like, his hair was really his strength. But he looked so unbelievably hot. Like, the way I didn't even look at him twice when he played Prince Philip in The Crown, and now I would literally stand in front of a bus for him. Like, it's not normal. It's not normal. But I think that says more about Prince Philip than it does about Matt Smith.
And also, Prince Philip was in his fuckboy era.
Right, so you, like, hated him.
The future Prince Philip actor you probably love.
Yeah, he's sweet, P-Jump.
The one who, like, wants to meet the astronauts and, like, takes his plane to the moon.
Right, like, acts nuts. Okay. But let's talk about the whorehouse. I didn't, you know, really love that he made them, you know, show their yellow hair and, like, be a spectacle. That seemed like he obviously has a plan. And his plan was that, like, oh, she'll be a whore and no one will want to marry her. And then I'll be the one to come save the day.
You think so?
Kind of. Like, because it is the perfect plan. Like, if everyone finds out that she's not wed, that she's not a virgin, no one's going to want to marry her, no matter how much, you know, status or money she has. And he just kind of made himself, like, one of the only options.
I guess. I feel like, for me, he took off their garb so that, like, they could be attracted to each other. Like, when she was dressed as, like, a little boy, I don't think he was going to, like, start making out with her.
Okay, that's also fair. But it did feel like, because they didn't fuck because like he actually loves her and maybe like their first time should be a little bit more special than on the floor of a basement of a brothel.
Yeah.
But he did want to like set this plan in motion.
Interesting. You have been right about Damon all along, so I'm gonna go with you. For me, Damon and Rhaenyra are endgame because it's like they strengthen each of their claims to the throne. Little toddler can scram, and they clearly I like them both as main characters, so I like them together. But trying to get them mentally from uncle and niece I to know, OTP, I'm struggling. And when they started making out, like, I was not okay. I was freaking out. I was, like, happy for them, but also, like, this is weird.
How old is Rhaenyra now? I mean, 17. Ben couldn't figure it out.
Yikes. 17 okay. And a bunch of months, going on 18.
You are 16, going on 17. Okay. Yes, I agree. Like, in terms of incest, like, I didn't really flinch at Jon Snow and...
Because they weren't raised as auntie and nephew.
They were total strangers.
They got together first romantically and then found this connection out. So what are you and to do then?
Jaime and Cersei, like, were actually twin brother and sisters. Like, that's next level. But uncle and auntie is right there. And if I wasn't so obsessed because, with like, Jaime.
He's always been her Uncle Damon. So yeah, how do you look at your uncle? Family. How do you look like your uncle?
Yeah. It doesn't, honestly, like, maybe I'm sick in the head. It does not bother me. I'm enthralled. But the next big thing is, like, homegirl goes home. Her uncle got her all horny with no climax. So she takes to the next best thing, Sir Criston Cole, who is so handsome and so sweet and, like, really was clearly struggling, like, with the decision between his honor and his dick. And I'm glad he went with his dick because it was totally the right choice. I thought that was a beautiful lovemaking scene. What a way to lose your virginity. You know, nobody gets it like that. Good for you, Rhaenyra. But I really did not feel like they needed us to watch her take off all of his armor. It was so painful. It was so slow. I'm like, you couldn't have stumbled upon, like, someone with a job who doesn't require them to wear 45 layers. Like, I don't know why we had to watch that. I don't know why, like, literally she was taking off both of his cuffs and she took 2 hours. Like, no, it was so frustrating.
They actually sped it up. Like, if he's wearing that much armor, it's very difficult to take off. Otherwise, you'd, like, go into a war and, like, be off with it in 5 seconds.
Of course.
So they sped up the armor, but...
It was still a lot of
footage. They
tried
to make it as romantic as possible. What can I say?
And you know what? It was really sweet, but obviously, like, it changed so much because while she's not lying to everyone about not having sex with Damon, she's lying by omission because she is no longer a virgin.
No, she lied straight up to Allison because she said, I'm still a maiden, girl.
Oh, true.
And she swore on her mother.
Justice for the mom. Her mom would have wanted it. And with this, you know, plan B pill, tea.
The maester's plan B.
She obviously needs it, but it's also a test because if she drinks it, she's pretty much validating to everyone that she fucked. And she's never going to tell everyone she fucked Sir Criston Cole.
Oh, I don't think she'll be tested to see if she drank it.
I do.
I don't think so. I think that she could say she decided not to drink it. She wouldn't just leave it there. She'd throw it in the fire or whatever. I don't think that's going to be a test, but I do think she'll drink it because
she better.
No, but her whole thing was like, I don't want to just squeeze out kids. And it's like has sex once and now wants to squeeze out kids.
Unprotected, no pull out. Come on, girl.
Yeah, I think she'll drink it. I think I don't think she wants kids. That was literally the whole point of the exercise.
What's so sad is that, like, if I wasn't so head over heels obsessed with Daenerys as a couple, I love Sir Criston Cole. I think he's such a nice boy. He is, like, kind of common, but, like, also has a little noble blood. He's a nice, good guy. New episode of The Good Guys is out today. So, in another life, I would be thrilled.
He's not a powerful enough match for her. He's too common.
He
does nothing for her. Like, if she's going to secure a Dornish alliance, like, she's going to go with the King of Dorne.
No, of course. But, like, she's very much interested in making a match that's makes her happy.
Right. But within the confines of
social
royal people,
but
you can't
nice
just,
boy.
Like, go find Joe Schmo.
No, he's just a nice boy.
He
and
is.
He likes her.
He is. And when he finds out that he was plan B... Oh, my God. He's going to be heartbroken.
He's going to be devastated. Like, he's in... I don't know where... Like, what happens next. Like, I just know, like, if Daenerys does not happen, I won't be okay.
Well, I think they're happening. I think the wheels are in motion.
They're turning... Yeah, this is... The plan is obviously to get them together.
Yeah, next week.
Because it makes sense for everyone.
Did you watch preview for next week?
No, I don't like to.
Oh, I do. They don't give you like that much. It's only interesting when, like, I saw there was a baby. But it's just like Otto. I think he's like being banished.
There was
from
a baby?
Eamon. Oh, remember when I said there was a toddler in the preview for next week?
Okay.
Otto is like leaving. I think he's being banished from the castle, and he's like yelling at his daughter to make Eamon king.
Okay, I like did feel bad for him because while he wasn't lying, but he is like a self-serving little fuck, and I don't really like him. And he is like serving his own self-interest, but he's also a good hand to the king. But like, you can't really be that great if you're obsessed with your family.
No, it was time for him to go, but it's like he might have killed your dad, and now it's time.
Yeah, no, it's like of all the things, like the one time he actually is telling the truth, like you didn't find it a little weird when he shoved his teenage daughter in your bed the second your wife died? Like,
right.
There's so many other things that like actually made him a bad hand of the king. And this one he actually handled with great discretion. He was pretty respectful. So like, why now? Why this rumor?
Because Rhaenyra put her foot down, and look at Rhaenyra getting everything she wants in just the course
blink
of one
an
episode.
Eye. I love to see her just really taking what's hers, you know? Daemon.
Yeah. I saw something, not a spoiler or anything, but I think there's about to be soon. Like
no,
a,
don't.
No, just a, no. A, we've don't. Talked about this. Just that they, time is moving very quickly.
Oh, okay. That doesn't bother me. Yes, but, you know, someone told me, my friend Abe, you know, the character who plays Rhaenyra, like when she grows up, we get a different character.
That's what
it's
I was
like
going to say. That's what I was going to say. She, oh. I think, from what I understand.
I hate that, by the way.
I know. But like, do we get a new Daemon? I don't think so.
By the way, if we get a new Daemon, I'm leaving.
But
I'm done with the show.
So young, Rhaenyra, which
no,
is. But also,
she's at the age where you actually look different as you grow up. Like once you're 40, you look the same.
Right. But I think Rhaenyra, Millie Alcock is the actress. I think yeah. She's like 23. So we must be going like 10 years ahead if she really's got to go.
I really like the actress, so I'm not thrilled.
22.
That sucks.
Hold on.
What are you looking at?
I just saw like a related woman in the search for Millie Alcock, and I'm just wondering if she's the next Rhaenyra.
Yeah, she could be anyone, but like, that's my Rhaenyra. Sorry, like.
Nothing but respect for my Rhaenyra, but you would have thought that about like The Crown. Claire Foy is my queen.
Right.
Olivia
right,
Colman is also my queen, and Imelda Staunton is also my queen.
100%.
So we can be changed.
We can be changed, but the show is just so good. This episode was so good, and I'm just so grateful for the incest, really.
But what I was going to say is, I think next episode is our last episode with Millie.
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say last episode of the season. I'm like, seriously, fuck these people. Like, fuck these people. They don't want us to have any joy.
Yeah, no, Game of Thrones doesn't pull that. Actually, they do. They're like an
eight. Remember they took 2 years off?
They took 2 years off and came back with 8 episodes.
Yeah, like towards the end, they were giving it like low effort.
They were giving us nothing.
Nothing.
So in the beginning of the episode, when she's coming back on the ship and then she realizes she's near Dragonstone, she stopped off and saw Daemon, yeah?
Wait, sorry, what?
In the beginning of the episode, they're on a ship.
Coming back from the turning.
From the
or whatever.
Tour. From the husband yeah. tour. And a dragon swoops in. So she looks up and she realizes there's Dragonstone, which is where Daemon lives.
But wasn't Daemon was just returning from the war?
No, then I think she stopped over to see him. Who knows what happened? Then she goes home. He comes in with his crown. And she said, you look so comfortable at Dragonstone. It was like a It's a very
I missed that
small
whole thing.
Thing.
Oh. I missed it completely.
I don't know if what I saw was right. I question everything now. I feel like I'm like really missing the point. Oh, by the way, how'd you feel seeing the whore again? What's she up to?
Oh my God. When he woke up in that brothel and this fucking whore was back, I was like, this fucking bitch, get out of here. I wasn't sure if she was like keeping him a prisoner. Like he looked like he was drugged.
Right. Also, I don't understand how like he can go do a one-man battle with all of the crab feeders army, you know, literally gut him and drag him through the beach, but like can't handle a hangover and is laying on the floor of the throne room.
Maybe he has a broken heart.
Maybe he gets migraines like me.
He's prone to migraines for sure.
It's like, yeah, it's possible.
No, my eyes rolled like 360 degrees when I saw that bitch. I'm like, get the fuck out of
but
here.
But it sounds like she's gotten out of the flesh business. And also, yeah,
but it looked like she was in the human trafficking business. Like, why were those kids handing her money?
And I think that kid was the spy.
The snitch, yes.
So she's working for Otto, so he's being betrayed. Also, what are we going to do about his first wife? She's got to go.
I'm not worried about her. They'll, you know, chop her head off or something. She's got to go. The bronze bitch. Like, I'm not worried about her in the slightest.
Okay, because Rhaenyra's nobody's, like, second wife.
When he said second wife, I'm like, how dare you? Yes. Seriously, how dare you?
One of many? No, no.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Let's do a little bit more TV recap. I just want to give my thoughts on Beverly Hills and yours on Southern Charm. And it's brought to you by Brush. Brush is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Brush redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole mouth clean every single day. So the electric toothbrush, when you get the Brush kit, which is what I have, you get to choose your color. They have, like, stunning colors. It's giving fashion week. You get three different brush heads, the toothbrush itself, a magnetic charging station, and a sleek travel case. So the great thing about the Brush is that once you fully charge it, it literally can last so long that you can travel without the charger if you're traveling for like a weekend or even a week. But it's also like very no muss, no fuss. It's not like this big bulky thing. You can maintain like your clean, clutter-free energy with the Brush. I have it in pink and like magenta and like millennial pink. Ben has it in like a hunter green. It's everything. My teeth have never been more stunning. Take a look at my pearly whites. And you can get 20% off when you pick your Brush brush kit and plan at brush.com/toast. That's 20% off when you go to brush.com/toast. brush.com/toast. So the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills like kind of hit like a low point, but this most recent week was really powerful because they went to Aspen, and apparently like Aspen is where everything goes down. And while I think the thing we're waiting for to happen doesn't go down, it was still a really interesting episode. One, you know, they're going back and forth about the same shit, but after one night, Erica gets like blackout and they're just talking about the victims. And the conversation starts with like Garcelle, Crystal, and maybe Diana asking Erica questions. And she's like not her typical kind of political answers. She's just going in. She's like, these victims are not my problem. I don't care about them. You guys only care about them because of what the public thinks. And all the other women are on the couch, but they slowly start like hearing what she's saying. And, you know, Sutton, who has been Erica's biggest, you know, investigator slash critique, she is just sitting and listening and absorbing, because honestly, I don't think anyone can believe the shit that's coming out of Erica's mouth. And her friends are like trying to protect her, which just like kind of annoys me, because like, they don't protect everyone. You know, if anyone else outside of like that core group, Dorit, Rinna, Kyle, Erica, if anyone else was like wasted and saying crazy things about like a scandal they were going through, like no one would protect them and try and get them out of there. Kyle was basically like, stop saying all of this. I won't be able to defend you. Like, let's get her out of here. And it's like, no, let her just like you would let everyone else. Like nobody runs and jumps in and helps Sutton.
Yeah.
And everyone is just so fucking mean to Sutton. And she's so bad at defending herself. And like Garcelle is helpful, but like, the way like Diana and Erica are two of the most evil women I've ever, like, basically everyone is getting mad at Sutton for something. And Sutton was like, well, where was all this energy when literally Erica called me a cunt? Like, you guys weren't all baffled, like, you know, holds clutching your pearls. And Diana was like, and it was quiet. And Diana was like, well, that's because you are a cunt. It was so mean. And then her and Erica are hysterically laughing. Sutton's sitting there crying. Like, it was, and then Diana starts to cry. Like, it was so evil and manipulative. And I hate this group of women. Like, literally, I can't watch it because I'm like actually a good person, you know? And I have a moral compass and I have feelings. And I can't watch like this gang up of women. Like, it's horrible. But the real turning point, and I think a lot of like the big moment that happens in Aspen has to do with Kathy. And like, I don't know what goes down, but I see why she might be in a bad mood when she wakes up. Because her fucking sister is just like, uses her as a punching bag. I couldn't believe it. Like, you and I, if we're in a big group, like, not only would we never like punch down on one another, but like, we're a team. You know, it's almost unfair if we're in a group because we always have each other's backs,
right,
you know?
Right or wrong.
Right or wrong, like, I'm gonna defend you, you're gonna defend me, and like, we're never gonna like make fun of each other. Like, it was, first of all, Kyle is just like obsessed with putting Kathy down. I think because like the way the Housewives fandom became obsessed with Kathy was like historic, and I don't think Kyle particularly loved it. So they all fly in. Kathy flies in separately from New York. She walks in the hotel like how a normal person looks after a flight, like fucking disheveled. And she's wearing hotel slippers. And Kyle can't get over that she's wearing hotel slippers the whole episode. Did you see Kathy's slippers? Did you see Kathy? Leave her alone. She's an old woman traveling. Like, leave her alone. Seriously.
Yeah.
That night, they all go out to dinner. Kathy, who's like, you know, actually rich and doesn't need to like prove it by wearing a Birkin, her purse for the night is like one of those like reusable Free People shopping bags that you get from the store. Like it's like one of those totes that you get when you spend like $100. It's not a purse. It's like a tote.
Yeah. I got the like Brooklyn in one. I love it.
Yeah. I have an Aloe Yoga one. Like the shit that you would throw in like to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Kyle takes the purse, is showing look at this, Kathy. Kathy's back. Like just trying to embarrass her.
Or do you think it's like Kyle trying to play to the fans, but getting it wrong. No. Like how last season, everything Kathy did, like, I don't think anybody thought every single thing, like time she did something silly or funny, it was going to be a moment. And now it's like Kyle realized that. And now is trying to like capitalize on every one of Kathy's moments.
Maybe, but it did not seem,
because it's like, even if Kyle didn't bring it up, then the fans would be like, oh my God, Kathy Queen, like wearing a reusable tote. Like we'd love to see it. And so like Kyle's like injecting herself into that moment.
Okay, I didn't get that energy at all. But
I didn't watch it. I'm just listening to you.
And then the final thing was like, so after this dinner, they all go back to the rental house, and that's where Erica has this like meltdown. But before that, like the women are like doing weed gummies, they're like drunk. And for sure it wasn't the right moment for Kathy to like want to talk about this, but it's clear she's not a professional housewife. She doesn't know when the right time to promote a product is, but she basically is talking about this tequila that she has. She's like, you know, Paris is an investor, I'm an investor, Nikki and her husband James are investors. It's so good, like I would love for you guys to try it. Like she wasn't being like calculated.
Did she have it with her?
Yeah, okay. Costa del Sol.
And they're sitting around drinking, so it's like
drink. Yeah, I mean, some of the women have stopped drinking. A lot of them are doing pot. But like Kathy is not, she sees people drinking. She's like, great, perfect time to talk about my tequila. And like these women who cannot promote enough fucking things are so dismissive. No, who wants tequila right now? Oh my God, Kathy, your timing is horrible. Like being so mean to this old lady, like it was so sad, especially Kyle.
What did she say?
You gather, like nobody wants to do that right now. Like it was so mean, especially when you think of like all the shit events all these women have to go to.
And the shit we have to sit through.
It was
so mean. And how much tequila they drink.
It was so fucking mean. And Paris actually responded to a tweet. Someone was like, I cannot believe how all the women just like literally dismissed the hell out of Kathy.
I think the tweet said Kyle.
Kyle, yeah. Paris retweeted it and was like, they were so unkind. So there's definitely bad blood between Kathy and Kyle.
Currently. Messed up. And then something about 818.
That's next week.
They order 818?
My DVR cut off before the preview, so I don't know what the 818 like thing is, but
it seems like they're in good. A situation where Casa del Sol is offered and they order 818.
That's fucked up. All right, you tell me about Southern Charm because I have about 6 minutes left. This is the longest episode of my life. I have 6 minutes left on my memory card because we're about to literally run out of storage.
Okay, I'll just tell you Southern Charm. And I think I caught you guys up till Thanksgiving. Like things are brewing between Paige and Naomi. It's so crazy how like Paige really doesn't want to come to Charleston and like be on the show. I think Craig even said this when we interviewed him, how it's like they don't enjoy doing each other's shows. He doesn't like doing Summer House because it's like a 24/7 camera, and she doesn't like doing like the group trips in his shows. And I think she just doesn't like how like they operate in the South, where everyone's like sweet to your face and like rude mm-hmm. behind your back, whereas she's very much a New Yorker and it's like we're just rude 24/7.
No, but also like she her job is being on a reality show, and now like her private time with her boyfriend, like she also has to do her job, you know?
Yeah, but I would just think like if you're a reality star and it's more shows and that's your business, like I would have just thought they'd be like, yeah, I'll come to Aldebrasse. They went to this Frank Lloyd Wright house a few weeks ago and it was actually pretty cool. It was a crazy episode. And she did not go. I missed her dearly, but she did come to Austin's Friendsgiving, like being and looking like the queen that she is. She had it out with Naomi, but they had made a rapprochement and everything's good. Then this week, Patricia hosted the boys for a boys' night dinner, white tie at her house, like French style cooking, like so fucking pat. And Leva had the girls at one of her restaurants for girls' night. And by the way, I do believe Leva is getting her own show, yes. Vanderpump Rules style, about her restaurants, which I love.
That'll be good.
And And Leva's just becoming like a voice of reason within the group. She's not really injecting herself into the drama like she did last season. And I really appreciate her energy and her advice. Like, she's really she's a great gal. And Girls Night is going really, really well, considering like Catherine and Naomi fucking hate each other. But Naomi is now in the show hooking up with Whitney. And like, I thought it was going to be like they kissed once like drunk after a dog wedding or something. Mm-hmm. But no, they're like seeing each other sort of. And I don't really hate it. I mean, I think Patricia would like love to have Naomi as her daughter-in-law. And Whitney's like really thinks she's like the classiest woman in the world and like just worships the ground that she walks on. So like,
are they still together now?
I don't think so. But if they were, I really would be here for it. And like, I kind of bonded Catherine and Naomi because Catherine was like, Whitney's actually a great guy and a great catch and like really genuine. And I think like that meant a lot from Naomi to hear, because I think everyone was kind of like,
why? Giving her shit.
Like, because Whitney's just like kind of weird. But when they went to this retreat at Frank Lloyd Wright House, it's like this, you know, historical landmark house. Of course, it's like Whitney's friend owns it. And Whitney did all the rooms and everyone's like bunking together, except like he gave Naomi like the choice of four different rooms and was like taking her on a private tour. Like, would you want that one or this one?
That's so sweet.
It's really cute. She's getting like special treatment. So when the boys were at Pat's house, they were so drunk. It was so funny. And they were genuinely having a good ass time. And we only see the drama with this group. And it's like, sometimes the drama is so loud. It's like, why and how are you still friends? But then you like see,
but they are.
You see moments like this and like they have so much fun together and it's a genuine joy to watch. Even Whitney is like just being so funny, and Patricia fostered that for us, so I'm happy.
That's
for
nice.
And I'm appreciating her more now. I don't know what changed, but I'm just, and all her furniture is like breaking. It's hysterical. Like the boys are like drunk in her chairs and they're, you know, like 16th century
100-year-old
chairs.
Craig
broke a chair, then Whitney broke a chair. It was really funny.
And that's why, like, at the end of the day, like, that show is good and successful because it's not a group of people who only get together to film. Like, they are real friends with real history. That was like Shaws of Sunset too. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. So that was great. And then I just wanted to update you guys on the books that I read this weekend, because I finished the historical fiction book I was reading by Beatrice Williams.
I have Jackie, I have 90 seconds left on
Oh my God. Okay. I read The Secret Life of Violet Grant. Amazing historical fiction book, really long. I would give it 4.5 stars, but like it pays off if you want to like really be immersed in a story. I loved it. Then I read Jenny Mullen's book, City of Girls, which okay, we are not going to do your end of recap show. Once we're done, we're done.
Okay.
City of Girls by Jenny Mullen. It's like all about influencer mamas, momfluencers, and it was actually really good. I read it in less than 24 hours and I enjoyed it immensely. She talks so much about influencers, but I really feel like she gets it right most of the time, and it was really well written and really easy to read, so I would recommend. And then I just started the new Taylor Jenkins Reid book, Carrie Soda is Back, about the tennis player. So I'm like five pages in. That's that.
Okay, that was our literally 2-year long show. Tomorrow we'll be on Burden Yourselves. We love you all.
Bye.
Sorry for the delay
so
today.
Goodbye.
And we love you. Bye.